preparing for the glory of the Lord. Oh, we want to see God come with power and with glory. And as we were singing in that last song, we want him to come and break out amongst us. We want him to do something extraordinary. You know, I think for the last few years, Lisa and I could probably say that we've sat and we watched this church change and become different things. But in the last year or so, God has been doing something phenomenal. And I believe God has been gathering people because he wants to do something extraordinary. He's been gathering particular gifts, particular types of people with specific desires, because I believe God wants to do something extraordinary amongst us. He's been gathering people who are excited and able to inspire us by the word of God. He's been gathering people who can teach us. We think of Brother Ray and Brother AJ here at the back, people who can teach the word of God. And he's been gathering people who have a real, real strong desire to see something happen. And so in all of my 23 years of being here, I can actually say with all my heart that we have never been in a greater position as a local church than right now. We've been in places at this church where there has been more people than we have attending this church. Yet the spiritual dynamic that Lisa and I are feeling right now is far and above that of anything we've ever experienced in the time in this place. The temperature is rising. Oh, glory to God. There's a temperature rising. There's a feel inside. And, you know, I want to go along with the prophet Isaiah, and I want to agree with him this morning, because I don't know about you, but I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. It ain't here yet, but beloved, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand, and the cloud of the glory of God is about to come. Oh, do you feel him in here already? The sense in the presence of God that I don't have to even preach. I believe some people right now could be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. People can be set free, not because I'm saying the right things, not because I'm doing the right things, because Jesus is here in the house. I believe it. Glory be to God. I don't know what's going to happen, beloved. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know something is going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say to you? Oh, I better calm down. I really don't want to scare the new people. I really don't do that. Glory be to God. I want you to go to Acts chapter 2. I feel something burning in me because he put this in my heart. I think God wants us to prepare for the glory of the Lord. He wants us to prepare for his glory. And so I entitled this, Getting Ready for the Glory. Are you ready? Oh, glory be to God. Getting Ready for the Glory. Acts chapter 2. I believe that God wants to take us from people who are just doing regular stuff. You know, he told the disciples, he said to them, Brother Joel, I want you to tarry until you be endued, until power comes to you. And see, he wanted the power to come so that he would take them out of normality, of the same old thing, the same old kind of speech. And he wanted to get them to a place where they would do something that they never done for the first time. And I believe God wants to raise up people in this church on Backstreet who are constantly living the life of doing something for the first time every time. Every time we move, every time we speak, God wants to do something that we've never done. He wants to do it for the first time. Because we place a limitation on ourselves, and we look at our own natural abilities, and we say, it's an impossibility for me to accomplish that. But I want to tell you that God specializes in taking natural limited people and making them exceptional, outstanding, unlimited people. He specializes in that. And I want you to look at Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, then when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all of one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of the rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and each one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know, that's the part of the tenets of the Assemblies of God, and that's good. You know, they tell us, were you filled with the Holy Spirit? And they said, that's the initial physical evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. But let me tell you something right now, beloved. That's good, but I also know there's another evidence. And there's the evidence of love. That, beloved, if we are filled with God's Spirit, there's no way that we can't love lavishly like God loves us. Because if we're filled like Him, if we are like Him, and He fills us with His Spirit, beloved, there ain't nobody in this world that is unlovable. There is nobody in the world that's unreachable, because it's God who gave out lavishly, when the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Are you hearing what the Word says? Yes. God bankrupted heaven so that man on earth can know Him. Oh, hallelujah. I'll calm down. Keep cool. I know I'm losing my swag, Brother Milan. But that's okay. I'm going to get it back in just a minute. Just hold steady. I'm going to have it in a few minutes. But I just feel something inside of me that God is trying to challenge and encourage the people of God. That we are not just insignificant people. He did not die that you would be insignificant. He wants to fill you with Himself so that He can express His goodness. He can express His love to a people who have no idea who He is. And so, I better... Darling, where did I stop? Do you? Sorry. Verse 5. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Perinthians, Medes, Elamites, and you know all of those languages and names, and a whole bunch of them listed there. Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in our own tongues with the wonderful works of God. They were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? And the others, mocking, said, they are full of new wine. And they were absolutely right. They were full of something for the first time that they had never experienced before. And because of that, they were enabled to do something for the first time that they never did before. Could you imagine that these people spoke languages that they never spoke before? That gives me great encouragement. I don't know about you, because that speaks to my limitation. That speaks to my lack in my natural ability. It tells me that my natural ability may not communicate the way I would like Him to, but when the Spirit of God is, oh, hallelujah, when He comes upon me, He will enable me to speak and talk in a way that communicates to everybody, regardless of my limitation. And some of you, you may feel like you're limited in what you're called to do. You may feel like you don't have the gift. Julie, you got the gift. You got the gift, girl. You could do it, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. And you can. There ain't nothing. Luke, you got it. And in the days to come, you're going to have more than you ever expected, son, because God is going to do a work in you. And He just brought you to Him, and you just come now. But by the time He's done with you, He says, you're going to be a shining testimony of the grace of God and what He is able to do in somebody's life. Yeah, He is. Yes, He is. He's going to do that. Brother Joe, you don't have no idea, bro. You have no idea the ability that God has given you. He's put something in you in the area of music that not many people hear. And He's going to unfold it in the days to come. Sometimes you sit and you're frustrated. But God says, let your frustration do the work that He wants to do through you. Hallelujah. God is going to do it. God is going to do it. He's going to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that is working in us. And he's got to be working in us. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Okay. So here we are, and all of this power flows upon them, and they have no idea of what's happening, really, because they were limited in their natural ability. And sometimes we look at what we have, and I'm sure that these people, when the day of Pentecost, they were wondering, they were just full of amazement, because suddenly they're saying and doing things they never realized they can do. And it's not really them that's doing it.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And sometimes we got to come to that realization. We put our gifts and say we're gifted at this. And our gifts mean nothing without the empowerment and our enablement of the Holy Ghost. We need him more than ever to come and ignite something inside of us that say, listen, beloved, I wouldn't be here. I was a guy who was afraid to talk. I knew how to sell drugs. I knew how to do a whole lot of things. But I wouldn't look at people. I was shy, but yet inside me was a violent man. But let me tell you something. When the Holy Ghost gets a hold of you, what you used to be, he will appropriate it for his kingdom. And he'll use what you were to glorify his name. Here's Paul. He's killing Christians everywhere. But then when God gets a hold of him, he starts becoming a demon chasing, demon putting down individual, because God reappropriated what the enemy. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody say amen in this place. I got to calm down. I don't know if I'm clear in what I'm saying, but I got to calm down. I really do. Help me, Lord. I believe God wants to do so many. I have no idea what is going to happen is going to look like. I have no idea, because God, I bet you if he does some of the things he wanted to do in our lives, we would have no, and we open up to what he wants to do. We have no idea what he wants to do, because he said, my ways are far above your ways. My thoughts are far above your thoughts. So we're quite concerned sometimes. God, what are you going to do? But then you look at these parts in the Bible when people are surrounded by an enemy and it looks like the day is over, like it was for Joshua and those guys. And then Joshua breaks out with something that's being done for the first time and has never been done before. And he stands before those armies and he says, sun, stand still. Moon, be still over Gibeah. And I bet you those people who were in that battle, I bet you just for a few seconds, everybody stopped fighting. Oh, wait a minute. Did you hear what he said? I got to see this, man. I don't know about you. I heard Joshua was bad. You know, we fighting him, and I heard he was bad. He's doing some outrageous stuff. But this, I got to see. The moon standing still, the sun stopping. And beloved, let me tell you something. They stood still and they stopped, because in this man was a heart and a desire to do something to glorify God. And no matter if he's never been able to do this before, he was going to do it for the first time. And I'm going to tell you, Joshua went on to be somebody who not only did something for the first time, but every time he did something for the first time. Are you hearing me? Okay. Because the reason why I'm saying this is because we can become so caught up in just doing stuff. I thank God that we have a food bank. I thank God we're meeting the needs of the community. I thank God lives are being touched. I thank God that people are being ministered to by the gospel of Jesus Christ. But any organization can start a food bank. Any organization can provide programs that give to people. But there's only one organization that can make the glory of the Lord revealed in the earth. There's only one organization that can see the glory of God come down and Jesus revealed in reality. He says, if you repent in Acts chapter 3 and turn away, he says, I will send the times of refreshing and I will send you Jesus Christ. Glory be to God. How many of you want to see him right now, right here? Oh, but I better calm down, because we got food coming up after this. I want you to go to Numbers chapter 22. Put your finger. Numbers chapter 22. You don't even have to turn. Let me just tell you. Here is the prophet, and he's approaching, what's the guy's name? I forgot his name. Balak. And he's talking, Balaam, is it? Balak. He's approaching Balak. Balaam. Thank you, Brother Robin. Oh. See, spoken like a true politician. Politicians go. Yes. No. I'm just kidding, man. Just kidding you. But listen, here's Balak. I know that one doesn't. I'm just kidding. That's why I said I'm kidding. But here's Balak. Here's Balak. And he says, whatever he says. And then the donkey begins to talk to him about what he's doing. He begins to speak in human languages. And then on down the road in the verses, it goes and he says, and Balak doesn't speak any more English. He starts speaking like a donkey. And he says this word, nay, nay. Let me tell you something. If God can switch, if he can switch that stuff around like that. I'm going to go there. I'm not going to do it. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I believe that God, sometimes we have dysfunctions and we are dysfunctional. And God deals with us in a certain way. And reason, listen, we need the Holy Ghost. We need him to come, and we need him to break us out of our limitations. Yes. We need him to also come and to deal with us in our dysfunctions. Yes. Now listen, because really, in our we're so dysfunctional sometimes. If somebody upsets you, you know the Bible teaches us we're supposed to love. But we love conditionally. If somebody upsets us, the love's out the door. You know how I know the love's out the door? Because our treatment of that person changes. It changes. We don't treat them the way we first treated them. That's how you know the love's out the door. Yeah, that's right. Kick them to the curb. Out you go. And I want you to see this in Matthew chapter 16. It's very important for us to understand. Matthew 16. Verse 13, we'll read the whole thing. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? And the Son of Man am. And so they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and some others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against. Before I move on, can I just say this? That Jesus is in the process of building his church.
Yes.
And sometimes we worry about things that he already knows about and knew about it before we were ever created. And we kind of treat things as if God doesn't do something about it, I need to help him. Because if I don't help him, it's all going to fall apart. If I don't do something, the church is not going to get built. Let me tell you something. God knows what he's doing. And some of the stuff he allows is for the reason of building his church. Because if the church doesn't experience certain things, we'll become gullible to anything. And listen, he allows certain things. But listen to this. And he goes on and he says, Where did I? Oh, there we go. Verse 19, and I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he commanded his disciples that they should go tell no one that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many needs from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Oh, what a little bit of revelation will do for us. We get a little bit of revelation from God immediately. We got it all together. We figured it all out. I know how it's supposed to go, God. God, you don't understand. I got revelation. It's been revealed to me. And I know how it's supposed to go. You know what I'm saying? You know how your kids, when they get to a certain age, and they start telling you what life is about? You know what I'm saying? See, I was a kid. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I said to my parents. You don't understand, Mom, Dad. I have an eye on the bigger picture. Oh, you do you? And God will let you deal with what you think the bigger picture is so he can bring you to the reality of what the big picture really is. Okay, listen. He said, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but of the things of men." Now listen, God knows how to deal with us in our dysfunction. And God wants to teach us how to deal with each of our dysfunctions. If you notice, Peter is called three names in this text. Simon, Peter, Satan. Three names, three different personalities. He's called Simon, Peter, Satan. Simon, Peter, Satan. That speaks of really the way our lives go often. We're kind of like that in a roller coaster way of life, aren't we? One minute we think we know it all, and one minute we're being manipulated by the enemy. If you won't say amen, I'll say amen to myself. Because it's true. And one minute, Simon, it's really important for you to understand this, because Simon means unstable. And that's what our flesh is. It's unstable. In our natural nature, we cannot build anything upon our flesh because it's unstable. And the only thing that's worth building on is Peter. And the other thing that you got to deal with and rebuke is Satan. Hey, but listen to what Jesus does. He deals with Peter based on what spirit he is. But his love never changes. Oh, glory be to God. Some of us going to be helped right here, right now. I'm telling you, he deals with him based on the spirit that he's in, but he loves him the same in every instance. Now, it tells you something else, that some of us parents may be able to take a lesson of parenting here. Listen. Each time he deals with him, it's love. But he deals with each differently. Each situation he deals with differently. Simon, he draws him and he says, "Yeah, but who do you say that I am?" And he brings Simon to a place of decision. He brings Simon to a place of understanding who God really is. With Peter, he encourages him because Peter's on the right track. "I'm going to use you to build." In other words, God's not going to use anything that comes from mankind. He's going to use what revelation we receive from God to build his church. And he talks to him and says, "I'm going to use this man to build." But Satan, he doesn't say, "Oh, now, there, Satan. It'd be okay. You're trying to be a good guy. You'll be all right. Oh, you hear me? You'll be okay, Miss Lily. You can keep, you can." No, I better not say that because you get mad at me. No, I'm just kidding. Y'all please pray for me. I'm in trouble already. I know I am. But here, Marlon's doing something wrong. I'm going to come up to Marlon and say, it's going to be okay, brother. You okay? You're good, man. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus speaks some harsh words to Peter when he's in the spirit. And beloved, he encourages him, or he draws him while he's in his flesh. He encourages him when he's in the spirit, and he disciplines him when he's of this evil nature. And sometimes we need to be disciplined. We don't want to hear that, though. We don't like that. Don't, I'm grown. We're talking about discipline. I'm grown. I'm a grown man. I remember the first time I said that to my dad. I was about 15 years old. And I said to my dad, I'm grown. He said, yeah, you are, huh? Who food you eating? Whose house you in? I said, I'm in yours. You know that. Well, you ain't grown yet then, boy. Until you get your own place that you can be sustained by yourself, you will always, listen, we need him all the time. We are not grown. We have not made it, and we will never make it while we're here. We are in a process of change, and we need him all the time. All the time. My dad's gone now, but sometimes I wish he was around. I go back and talk to him. James was a straightforward kind of person. He was a street preacher. So he was a straightforward kind of person, James was. And he would tell me, Lisa, no, they spent 3 months at my house, and when I was in Texas and spent a lot of time at the house, and they got to see my dad up close and personal. Dad was tough. You know, I can't tell you a little story. I know it's going to be, I'm almost done. Don't worry. I know it's long. Please hang in there. You all right? I remember saying to my dad, no, I ain't going to say it because it's taking too long. I'll tell you some other time. I remember, my dad used to throw me off, because I remember this. Sometimes, you know, we'd be naughty and be bad, and we go to sleep, and we think we made it, and the covers would come off, and we get surprised. I won't tell you what the surprise was, but it was a serious surprise, you know? But this one day, my father surprised me. And I was expecting, I just went to bed. I was like, oh, Lord, I know it's going to come. At some point in time, I was just under the covers trembling. It's going to come. I know he's going to turn the light on. And he turned the light on, and he came down, and he sat on the side of the bed. And he said, son, I want to tell you something. Now, I've been disciplining you all of your life, but see, now it's time that you got to do the right thing for yourself and for the right reasons. He looked me in the eye, and he said, if I haven't taught you enough now, let's move on. So you got those three personalities, and God wants to teach us how to love one another despite our dysfunctions. I should be able to look at my wife and... No, I better. <You're good. laughs> I should be able to look at Brother Marlon, and if I don't care what Brother Marlon has as dysfunction, I should be able to look past that and see what Jesus saw when he saw Peter. I know this is going to be the man that ultimately will stand up on the day of Pentecost and preach the gospel in such a way that thousands of people are going to, I should see him. I should see that person. That person, he should look past my dysfunctions, and I should see the thing that God sees in Ben. Beloved, I'm telling you about an atmosphere that can be created when we look past and to the future that God has for each of us, that can be created in a place where God pours out his glory, because what becomes most important is not what I want, not what I want to do, but what we are going to become. At the end of the day, he says he's coming back for a church without spot, without wrinkle, or any such thing. It's going to be a glorious church. And I'm looking to that in each and every one of us. Okay? Okay, I'm going to be. Now, and the reason for that, quickly, John's Gospel chapter 16. The reason why we should be able to do that is in John 16. John 16, I'm going to hurry up right now, move. He says, John 16, 13, it says, however, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you of things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And all these things the Father has are mine, and therefore I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. And what Jesus is talking about is some of the stuff that we don't see in you is his. And what he wants to show us is the thing that we don't see for the first time, that we've never been able to receive, we've never been able to see before, but he wants to show it to us so that when we look at one another, we no longer what we see presently, but we see what he sees, the things that he claims that are his. Okay. I know you probably got me help us understand. I'll come back to Luke. Luke, spiritually, may not be where some of us are. Come on, stay with me. Because he's just come. He's a babe. But by continued feeding of the milk of the word of God and the meat of his word, the Bible says he will grow. Now, physically, he's a slim guy. That's what he looks like.
Yeah.
In the natural. Yeah. But guess what he's going to become like in the spirit? Stand up, AJ. Stand up, AJ. That's what he's going to become like. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's what he's going to become like in the spirit realm. Are you hearing what I'm trying to say to you? And we have to come to that place where we see what God sees, the things that he calls his. Hallelujah. I'm going to close with this. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 7. I'm going to be done. Exodus chapter. Somebody said amen. I said I'm going to close this. Somebody said amen. Lord have mercy. I'm going to close. Somebody said amen. You remember that comedian? That dude? I'm getting ready to close. I know you've been waiting here for a long time. But listen to me. I'm getting ready to close. I know you tried to hold steady and sit in your seat and make everything feel okay. But I got some good news for you. I'm getting ready to close. Yeah. Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7. See, this is what God wants to do with us. When we begin to do things for the first time, every time, God flows in us in a way, and we desire that. He flows in us in a way he's never flowed in us before. And it's for a reason. It's for a reason. I want you to go to Exodus 7. So the Lord said to Moses, see, I have made you as God before Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be a prophet, and you shall speak all that I command you. And Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of the land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt. Listen, did you hear that? God's getting ready to multiply some stuff in this community. He's going to multiply it, okay? Then he says, but Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and people and the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, my great judgments. Now listen, the enemy is not going to sit still while we begin to seek after God and call upon him for his glory to fall. He's not going to sit there and say, oh yeah, that's cool. He's going to fight us with every ounce of fight that he has in him. But this is where it gets interesting. This is where it gets interesting. And he says, then Moses, verse 6, and Aaron did, wait a minute, verse 5, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. Then Moses and Aaron did so, and just as the Lord commanded them, so they did. I'm missing it. Oh, there it is. Verse 8. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. Thank you, darling. You're so kind. My wife said, just tell the story. just tell the story. You're reading all of that. Just tell. When Pharaoh speaks to you saying, show a miracle among them, that you shall say to Aaron, take your rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. Okay, skip the first 12. And this is what Pharaoh's sorcerers did. For every man threw down his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod, what? Swallowed up their rods. And Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed to them. But that's okay, because it says, the sorcerers, those sorcerers was named Jannes and Jambres. They threw their rods down, and I had two of them. Moses had one, and he threw his rod down, and it looked like they were going to overwhelm Moses' one rod. But the fact is, the Bible says Moses' rod swallowed up. Why is God wanting to pour out his spirit? Why are we looking for God to do stuff through us for the first time every time? Because it's time for us to start swallowing up some of the activity in this community that the enemy has been promoting. It's time for us to rise up and say God is stronger and greater than the enemy who he proclaims to people, and people who are bound, held captive by him. He proclaims to them that he's stronger. It's time for us to show different, that our God is greater. Our God is powerful. Our God is more mighty. Our God is higher. Our God is bigger. Our God is greater. Our God is... Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Amen. And that's what God wants to do. Can you imagine that? They thought they had Moses backed up. Serpent on the ground. We got you. We got two. You got one. That also speaks of a double portion that God is going to present to the church, amen, to us, a double portion of his presence and glory. Let's stand together. Amen. Father, I ask you in the name of Jesus that you would help us in the days to come, God, that as we look to you, God, you would pour out yourself in a way in us that you've never done before. God, do something new in us, fresh in us, as we've been hearing throughout this service. For the first time, do something new in each of us, and God, continually do it every time we encounter you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Have your way. Have your way, Father. Amen. And Father, now as we come to have fellowship on food, we pray you would bless this time, bless our food, bless our time together, bless Carrie and Ben and Jaden. And Father, we pray that you would minister life into each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Amen.